Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, everybody.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Stephen.
And yeah, I got to tell you, sometimes I'm not really like up for doing this all the time, but as soon as I hear Anna Bocchino's voice and a little music thing, it like gets me kind of like into it.
It's cool, right?
I'm totally into it.
Oh, so today we're going to be talking, guys. Everybody's been asking us sometimes the, you know, common questions about how to use some of our products. So we thought we would focus on one of them, one of our favorites.
Yes.
Although they're all of our babies, but... But before we get into that, we wanted to acknowledge some of our fans that have been helping us out. Mm-hmm. First, there's Susan W. who wrote in and let me know that the last two podcasts have been in monotone. Sorry, ooh, guys. I'm so sorry. This is what happens when your hard drive crashes and then you have to recreate.
And you get bummed out.
But it's very unintuitive. I'm sorry. In GarageBand, you would think the button that says stereo would record in stereo.
No.
It's the button that's mono that records it. And something weird about sounds would come out.
Whatever.
It was very confusing. But that was very helpful. So thank you, Susan. I didn't ask.
We're sorry for being monotonous.
I did not ask your permission to use your name, so I didn't want to say your last name. And then this guy, is it Michele? M-I-C-H-E-L-E?
Yeah, that would be Michele.
Michele. Okay.
Michael in English.
Exactly, but he was Italian. He wrote in and he let us know, which I thought was two good things from the last, corrected us a little bit in some of our last information. And I did correct some of this in the show notes, but it's good to correct it on air as well to let you guys know. First and foremost, the one piece of information that he had heard is when a child has a last name Esposito.
Now, wait a minute. Is this Michele? Is it one L or two L's?
One L.
Okay, so it's Michele, yes.
The Esposito does not refer to a man exposing himself, as what Paul had said, but the child was left exposed or abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
Which makes sense. And yeah. It's not that I stand corrected, but I'll certainly accept that version of it.
Yeah, that was the episode, guys, and in the name episode, what's in a name, and we talked about the different names, and this was when a child is an orphan that Paul had always heard that the nuns gave them terrible
nasty names,
which does not make sense to me because it's not the child's fault.
Well, that doesn't matter. The church doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I know.
A lot of people, the Catholic Church. Didn't Michele have some other comment?
Yes, that the which I did. This is the part I did correct in the notes because you even said you didn't know if it was true when you said it, but that Rhode Island has the longest continuous coastline is not true. That it's
I didn't say continuous. I think I said the longest total coastline.
But no, it's actually
it's number three, I think, right?
No, it's not even close.
No, I think it is. No. Yes.
I looked it up.
I did too. Depending on how they measure it. On one of them, it was way down. On the other one, it wasn't so far.
Oh, because
down.
It was depending. Yes, sir. But then it was also there is the idea of the ratio.
Okay. See?
Hey, let me just pause this for a second, huh? All right, and we're back. Sorry for that little... I had to go turn the heat on for Paul's mother.
Well, just as a little aside here, understand that the villa is quite large, the living space, and it's just gotten larger by 700 square meters. I don't know what that is in feet. We'll figure that out for you one of these days. Maybe Stephen will on the online notes. 700 square meters larger. So now we have to have walkie-talkies with us all the time for two reasons. One, because the place is large so that you don't have to go running, you know, half a football field away to find out where somebody is. And the other one is because my mother, I'm Paul, by the way, my mother has moved here from America, back here. This is her hometown. She's, you know, somewhat disabled at this point. She's fallen twice. She's very much overweight. But she's living here with us now. So when she needs something, rather than get an intercom system set up and wired throughout the house, we have walkie-talkies. So the walkie-talkies that you sometimes hear are my mother saying, Paolo, can you take me to the bathroom?
I will say these walkie-talkies, you were hesitant, but these have been so helpful.
Yes.
And then now with the new space, their new spaces, when you're over there, you're in your own world. It's the new kitchen and the new laboratory over there. So,
and the new bar and the new restaurant space and the new patio.
I mean, it's a totally different space. So like if somebody over here, usually we could yell if we can't walk out the door, we would yell for each other.
Which is the real Italian way of doing things.
Paul! Nino! But now you can just walkie and say, where are you? Can you please bring me something? Can you bring the martini into the other room?
Right.
Which is always the important thing.
No, the important thing is, would you like another martini?
Yes. All right. So, actually, one more thank you. Another podcaster, Dustin, had a good criticism for me. And thank you again for telling me that I think it was my mic. Hopefully, my mic is a little bit better now, but was a little low compared to Paul's. So, you guys, I'm still getting the sound thing down, so bear with us. Hopefully, you can enjoy
it. Just because Paul has such a much better voice than you do.
I need to start speaking from my chest down low, yes. So, more manly, yes. I need to think about that. Oh, so we'll get right into it. And guys, please, always folks, give us feedback. We love hearing from you guys. The show is as much as part yours as it is ours. So if there's anything you want us to talk about, you have questions, we'd love to answer questions. I'm going to try to set up something on the website that
we don't love criticisms, but you can send those too.
No, hey, if it helps us out, constructive criticism is good.
Oh, well, Steven's from Texas. He's really nice.
Yes. But please send us all your questions. We'd love to hear from you guys. So please do that. That's why we wanted to let you know people are responding and we listen. We really do. It's real people.
Hey, what did you tell me the other day, Stephen? Our second largest listening audience is where?
In Russia.
Russia?
Yeah. Come on. Well, at least the traffic to the website. I haven't looked at... I don't know. You know why I can't? Because iTunes doesn't let you know where it's coming from, really.
Huh.
If somebody else knows differently, let me know. But yeah, to the website. I don't know why Russia. That was weird.
That's really weird.
I mean, I guess unless they're finding us just by searching, because they're searching for Puglia from Frederick II and stuff.
No, not Frederick II. That has nothing to do with Russia, Stephen.
German.
Yes.
Oh, maybe Nicholas.
St. Nicholas.
Nicholas, that's why they come here. Yeah, all the Russians, Germans, you know, it's all the same.
It's all the same to you. They're all just invasive forces.
Exactly. All right. Moving on. Today we're going to be talking about red onion jam.
Tropea. Yes. Red onion jam.
Yes.
Tropea onions are these special onions, usually oblong, red, obviously. And when you see them in stores or whoever sells them, they're braided, like those plastic ones you see at Williams-Sonoma. But they're amazingly sweet red onions. Very special. They come from Calabria, from the city of Tropea in Calabria. And they make the best red onion jam in the world. Red onion jam is much more popular in France and with the Brits. But we've been making it here now for a few years. And we've had people, Brits especially, who travel a lot to France. Because, you know, the Brits have this love-hate relationship with the French. They love all their food, but they hate their attitude or something. I don't know what their problem is. But anyway, we've had Brits who have come here and who love red onion jam that's made in France, and they've told us that ours is 10 times better than any red onion jam they've ever tasted in France. So buy Puglia Villa Capelli red onion jam and not that French stuff.
But we should go into it, because honestly, guys, the first time, I mean, coming from Texas, I'm a little, I didn't know about this red onion jam stuff. What is that? So when it was just like, what the heck are you talking about? So first, let's get into kind of a little bit about how we make it, and then I'll tell you how we use it. It does sound, if you don't know about it, obviously most probably Americans probably don't, I would guess. but it is pretty amazing stuff. It sounds weird because it's not a jam you're not going to spread on toast.
Right. So let's start by saying that it's not really necessarily a breakfast jam.
Exactly. Although I did accidentally serve it to somebody for breakfast. I thought it was cherry and it ended up being red onion. And they put it on their bread and I'm like, this is interesting.
And oops. And actually, we don't call it jam because we call it conserve.
Yes. So we'll get it. I'll go.
And if anyone, anybody listening, can you write us and tell us what the difference is between jam, conserve, preserve, and marmalade? I would love to know what the differences between those four are. And jelly. Jelly, I guess, is probably the lowest of the low.
Well, no, jelly, I can probably answer, but I'm not 100% sure. Jelly is more the juice with pectin. It doesn't have any actual chunks of the fruit. Yeah.
Which I think most jams, jellies, conserves, and preserves that you buy in the store, industrial stuff, I don't think they have much real fruit in them at all.
No, they don't.
I think it's just
that was kind of the marketing of what's that? All fruit. Remember? All fruit. They were going against basically Smucker's by saying Smucker's doesn't have anything in it. I think that's what they were trying to imply.
But does all fruit have anything in it?
It's supposedly all fruit. I mean, I'm sure it has sugar and everything.
I think
else,
all fruit is just a brand name.
I think I don't remember. I was young when that was big. It kind of went away, didn't it? I don't know if it's still around.
I don't know. Well, we'd love to hear from you. Anyone have all fruit in their kitchen or in their store?
Yes. Or if you do, you shouldn't. You should have Villa Capelli.
And most of our conserves, by the way, before we get back to red onion, Tropea red onion, which is not part of this category that I'm going to talk about, is made from fruit that has been, I don't want to say left over, but that has been looked over or overlooked, actually, is the word I'm looking for. Because, we have so much fruit down here in Puglia that the people who grow the fruit and then sell it, they can't really sell the fruit that isn't of a certain size and a certain color and if it has any spots on it. It's the same crap that we hear in the United States, too. So all that stuff goes to waste and they throw it away. So one, we ask our friends who grow their own fruit on their own farms, usually without pesticides, to bring us their fruit, and they bring it to us for free. I mean, people show up at our front gate with baskets and crates of fresh fruit that we turn into jam. Mm. The other thing is that I personally hate to see fruit on a tree that is not going to be picked, that is just going to go to waste. So I go and pick it, because even if it goes to waste in our kitchen, at least I feel like I've picked it, I've taken it home, and it's going to be made into something. The other funny thing is, though, that I keep saying that I want to start a whole new line of fruit conserves with a new name, which is Da Canto, which Da Canto means next to, or in other words, next door. Because sometimes I walk through the fields, and when I see trees laden with fruit that no one is picking, not our fields, but neighbors' fields, I go and basically steal their fruit, and then we make jam or conserve.
But some of the neighbors have told us, please do it,
yes,
because they know it's going to waste too, and they feel the same way.
Figs, for example. Yeah. I mean, figs here are like weeds. Fig trees are weeds here. So I mean, everybody has fig trees, and nobody really picks
them. Well, ours
all.
Even. I mean, this year we did as much as we could, and then we just after a while it was like.
Right.
I mean,
last year I stopped guys who were in our neighbor's field picking his figs, because the rule of thumb here is that you can go through someone's field and pick as much fruit as you want, as long as you're using it for your own consumption. So you can't really go through someone's field with a big basket or a crate and fill it up, because that's stealing. If you just go through and eat it, or maybe have a small bag, that's okay. That's not considered stealing. That's considered just enjoying the fruit of someone else's labor, which is cool.
Yeah. But guys, if you like this idea with the Da Canto, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know, because, it would be conserves made from 100% stolen fruit. which
was not borrowed. Well, not really borrowed because
no,
not
stolen.
Back.
I want to steal it. All right. So last year there were guys in our neighbor's field stealing his figs. So I went over there and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Oh, you know, we're just picking a couple of figs here. What's the big deal?" I said, "Oh yeah, you're picking a couple of figs with baskets and buckets, and you're filling them up." So they quickly took off, jumped in the car that was waiting for them on the side road, and, you know, drove away. So I was like beside myself because I was saying, how the hell do these guys dare steal the fruit from my neighbor's property, which I'm going to steal? It's like, how dare they?
What are they? But they can't be stealing that much. Are they stealing for their family or for resale?
No, they're stealing to resell it, to sell it.
It can't be. I guess there's enough. I guess a few dollars here and there.
It's a couple of bucks. Everybody needs a couple of bucks.
I guess so. It's money.
Well, as a matter of fact, I went around today to one of our neighbors' fields, and it's olive season is starting. Even though it's October, olive season doesn't really start till November, and I've been craving for really ripe olives, black olives, that you can salt. So then you salt them, they get all crinkly and sort of like dried up, but they still have its great flavor, and they're amazing for cooking. So you get these salted black olives they use in like cacciatore and things like that. Just add flavor, everything. So I went to one of our neighbor's fields, and I was going to steal some of the olives from his trees, but then I felt like, you know, that's bad karma because we have like over 1,000 trees ourselves, and I hate it when people come and steal our olives, which they do, you know, the table olives especially. So I went, and there were these huge black olives on these trees, and I was tempted to take them until I looked down on the ground, and there on the ground are all these olives that had recently fallen off the trees because it's been raining for the past couple of days. So there are all these beautiful, huge black olives on the ground. So what I did was I started picking up all these olives from the ground because that's not stealing, because those olives, if you don't pick them quickly off the ground, they're going to rot. So I filled a bag with easily 15 to 20 pounds of black olives that we're salting, that we're going to have for the rest of the year to cook with.
Fun.
Yes.
That's good. Good. Tasty.
Yes. Now back to the red onion jam.
I'll go away, guys, just so you know kind of what goes into the red onion jam. Red onions. Sugar. Vinegar. Some red wine. Mm. Our homemade red wine. Some brandy.
Yep, brandy or cognac. Cognac, by the way, I'm sure most of you know this, but all cognac is brandy, but not all brandy is cognac. Cognac is a brandy that can only come from the cognac region of France.
Okay. And then...
Stephen didn't know that.
No, I know all that stuff. You know what? I watched the whole Food Network show on that whole stuff, and I still can't follow what's whiskey, what's scotch, what's brandy. It's very confusing. They're all kind of the same area.
Wrong.
Sort of. a touch of salt and some bay leaves. That's pretty much, I think. Oh, and at the very end, a little bit of a very small amount of raisins. I think the raisins add a little bit of pectin and absorb stuff anyway.
Right.
But then you basically
not,
cook.
Not too many raisins. One of my mentors in advertising, Carl Alley, one of his quotes was, writing great copy is like making bread pudding. It's wonderful to find a raisin once in a while. But if you find too many raisins, it's not really bread pudding anymore. Mm. So it's tropea red onions sliced up.
Yep.
Sugar, vinegar, red wine, cognac, lots of bay leaves. And then as you're cooking it, raisins.
And the bay leaves get taken out before we jar them.
Yes, because you can't eat bay leaves, by the way, because the edges are sharp, and if you eat a bay leaf, it can go through your intestinal system and slice it.
Yes. So, but in these basically you end up, I mean, for lack of a better term, they're like caramelized onions in a jar. I mean, they're you basically cook them down. Recently we made a new batch to use here. we almost messed up because we were talking in the other room and then we realized that I forgot about the onions and then they almost burned, but then they really weren't caramelized. So we had to add more liquid back in to kind of bring them back and get them soft. And it's definitely a process.
It wasn't that they weren't caramelized. They had lost their suppleness.
Yes.
They weren't like juicy.
But they weren't, but that also comes with just cooking it longer in more of the liquid. For whatever reason, luckily we were able to save the batch.
Yes, and part of the reason for that is because it's you have to cook them like at really, you know, the right length of time.
Yeah.
When it looks like that they're cooked and you say, okay, you know, they look cooked enough, they're not really. It has to come out like dark red, really, really.
Because back in the day, before even I would think they were fine, we would jar them, and then there was like all this liquid in the jar, and you're like, no, that's not quite right. Yes, it should have been like more of a.
And you don't want them to be like opaque. It has to be like dark. You know, it's the one product that I always say in our entire line that is absolutely luscious. When you put it in your mouth, a good friend of ours who helped us start out with our products, one of our first big champions who told me I should not get into the business, is David Perrat at Chelsea Market Basket at Chelsea Market in Manhattan. And the first time we gave him a jar of our Tropea red onion jam, He told me the next day that he sat down in front of the TV, opened the jar, and he ate the entire jar with a spoon. He didn't put it on anything. He just ate it with a spoon.
But that leads us into the next part, which is you're probably wondering, what the hell do you do with this dang product? Because it sounds so freaking weird. Okay, number one use, put it on a nice piece of sharp cheese.
Yes, sharp cheese.
This is a perfect product to have in your cabinet for when company comes over and you need something. It's totally different. It's totally amazingly delicious, and it's cool actually at the same time. So you get a little piece of sharp, like pecorino, parmigiano, something a little sharp to it, and you
even
put
a sharp cheddar.
Yeah, sharp cheddar would work. You put a little. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it's like a dab of it literally on top of a piece of cheese. Yeah, that's basically what we do. Because we use this, I mean, and we're not just the owners. We actually use this product. We're our best customers. We use this thing, all the time when we're entertaining. So basically you have your slices of cheese and you just put a little dab of this, or you could put the cheese platter out with slices and just have people put their own amount on it.
Because it's really the saltiness of aged cheese
that really
plays a great counterpart to the sweetness of the red onion conserve.
And the combination is amazing. Actually, really, really good is gorgonzola too.
Yes.
Any kind of blue cheese. Oh, because that's really salty, and then you put that sweet to it. It is to die for. You do it just with the cheese. You could do it with cheese on a piece of bread and then put that on there, like a little crostini.
Or some lardo.
Yes.
Lardo is basically lard. It's not lard in a can, but aged lard from like Lardo di Colonnata is the most famous Italian one, where it's bacon. It's basically bacon, but without the meat part, just the fat part, and it's very salty. So you put a little bit of this on it, and then you put it in the microwave for like 3 seconds, 5 seconds, and it melts the lard. And this thing, it's like swing.
You could also, instead of cheese, you could use a little bit of salami. Same principle, you know,
the
saltiness, kind of complementing that sweet and salty.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the main, I'll say the main use of it, because it's just
for appetizers.
Appetizer. It's a great, cool, I mean, most people have never heard of it. It's a conversation piece. It's like you'll wow guests. Trust me. It's so beautiful.
Don't overdo it. But.
No, you just a little dab will do you on the piece. So it's great. But then after that, it's like, okay, like I said before, it's kind of like basically it's caramelized onions. So what would you do with caramelized onions? But no, seriously, it's probably the world's best. I'm going to go on, put a stake in the ground. It's the world's best sandwich topper.
If you're making a sandwich, especially hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
You put it on a hamburger, it's like you will die.
It's so good.
In a good way.
It's really, really good. So, I mean...
And also, I know nobody, most people don't want to mess with a good steak, but you put a steak on the barbecue and you slice it up and you put a little bit of this on the side, and with every big bite of steak, you put, have a little dab of this sweet onion conserve. It just takes it over the top.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, it is the world's best sandwich topper. Trust me. I mean, it just adds it.
Even your kids will love it.
Yeah.
Just don't tell them it's onions.
Yes. No, I mean, it does. If it caramelized onions, who doesn't love caramelized onions?
My daughter eats onions like they're apples, raw onions.
So good. I mean, and to that same point, I have used it. And actually, the chefs that were just here, Michael Howell and Michael Blackie, they used it exactly the same way I do. Anytime you want a really quick onion flavor to something, like a sauce, you can use this in that. I've used it to make like a quick ragu. So you basically, rather than chopping up an onion and trying to like, cook the onion and caramelize it to make like ragu, which has to cook for a long time, this is a really easy way to add basically a caramelized onion flavor to whatever you're cooking. It's really good in that sense.
It's not easy to make. It's not easy to figure out when it's really cooked properly, but once you taste the good stuff of this, it is blow away. Sorry.
And of course, and if you don't want to do any of those things, just eat it out of the jar like David. we are not judgmental.
Right.
It's a little strong for me for that, but it's really dang good.
It's not too strong.
And actually,
I could do that.
No, it's actually, and actually because of the, I will say also, once you open the jar, it does last a really long time in the fridge.
Yes.
A little dab will do you, but so
and
that's
it
why
has no
so,
preservatives
no
preserv- whatsoever.
But technically the wine and the brandy,
well, has
and
no
the,
artificial
and the vinegar and the
no
sugar,
artificial,
yes,
preservatives.
But those all are kind of help preserve this to the extent that it does. I mean, we've had jars in the fridge forever. Sometimes,
well,
I say forever, like a few. I mean,
what,
like
what
few
you
months.
What you left out of the process, though, is that once you chop up the onions and you add all your stuff except for the raisins, because
yes,
raisins you add when you're cooking, you let it macerate.
That's true.
In a bowl or in a pot overnight, like a good 12 hours of just letting it soak, and you stir it once in a while before cooking it, so it really picks up all those flavors.
Yes. So guys, hopefully this wasn't too much of an infomercial for you guys, because honestly, every product we make, we believe in, and it's to make your guys' lives easier
and
tastier and better. And this is all like natural Italian products, and like Paul said, no preservatives. You know, it's all good for your family. So we really believe in everything we make. I don't want it to like we're pushing this product, but this is actually something that could really help you. I mean, it's a good go-to when you need the caramelized onions on a sandwich or a burger. It's to die for. A good for entertaining on a, you know, whenever you have company come over, you pull this jar out, done. And
yes,
like I said, it lasts forever. So you're good to go when you get
it. I'll go on the line here and say that it's probably our most flavorful product outside of our spicy stuff, which we'll talk about in another episode. But you know, as a non-spicy product, I think it's our most flavorful product that we offer.
Flavorful, define flavorful. Meaning like robust in your mouth?
Luscious. Like explosion of flavor. It's just amazing.
It's amazing. I would, the only thing I would disagree with slightly is the bell pepper jam is my favorite, which is a very, we'll talk about that sometime. It's a very, very similar product, but using bell peppers, that's actually
my favorite. And we do have a lot of people here when we do like taste tests. There are people who go between one and the other, but
yeah, they're very
I'm
similar.
I'm on the Tropea red onion,
and I'm the
conserve.
Bell pepper guy. Maybe we should do a contest. Which one do you like better?
Yes. So actually, if any of you have purchased it and have tried it, we'd love to hear from you to see which one you like better.
And how you use it, too. Maybe there's other uses we don't even know about. That'd be great.
Maybe it's like you fill your bathtub with it and jump in it.
Or shower with it and smear it under your underarms so you smell like onions. Actually, that's the only downfall of making this thing is that afterwards you have to wash your clothes because
when you're cooking it, not when you're eating it. Not, when you're cooking, not it.
Cooking it. That's the downfall of making it is you smell, the whole kitchen smells like onions and you smell like onions. Thankfully, the new kitchen has an extremely strong exhaust fan. I'm not saying extremely strong. When you turn it on, the double doors that go into the kitchen, the little swinging doors fling open because the fan is on.
Sucks the doors open.
It is so strong. So luckily this time we didn't smell as much like onions as we ever had before. But it's a wonderful smell nonetheless. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please, if you like this podcast, hit subscribe on your podcast player so you never miss another episode. And again, the easiest way to keep up with us is to subscribe to our newsletter. We've been sending out 3-point Thursday emails every Thursday. You know, all our wonderful points, 3 points that we love this week, from tips to tricks to recipes, all that good stuff. So be sure to sign up for that. And that's the easiest way to keep in touch with us, because we'll send out emails whenever we have new products or new promotions, that kind of stuff. And I think that's it.
I think that's it.
All right, guys. Arrivederci.
See you in Tropea.
Yes.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.